Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Greg Pickle. We're in the middle of the biggest recruiting month in recent memory, Greg, but perhaps the biggest football news involving Penn State, or at least a Penn Stater, is earlier this week, Carl Nassib, a former defensive lineman for Penn State, and if I recall correctly, he was initially a walk-on, ended up an NFL player, and he made the announcement this week that he is gay, and this is the first active NFL player to come out and make that announcement. So this is pretty big news, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think James Franklin really summed it up best, Jim, when he said that he was proud of Carl Nassib for leading the nation in sacks, but he's even more proud of him now. And I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, this is obviously, I think you're seeing a lot of stuff. J.J. Watt said it, some others as well, that we all look forward to a day when this is not breaking news, that Carl Nassib is not the first and only, but he's one of a large number of players who feel comfortable enough to do this. And so, yeah, that was certainly something that I don't know if any of us expected to hear on Monday evening, but certainly I'm glad. I know that I think most of the Penn State nation can be glad that Carl Nassib finally felt comfortable enough to do this. You know, I think he said in his video that he wanted to do it sooner, but just felt like now was the right time, and like we should just be happy that he felt like there was a right time. You know, that means we're moving in the right direction. So, yep, I think we'll see more and more reaction in the coming days. I know he's donating some money to a charitable cause that I don't have the name of in front of me at the moment, but I know James Franklin and Fumi Franklin have agreed to donate $10,000 to that cause as well. So hopefully some money is being raised for a good cause here. And like I said, it seems like it can only be seen as a positive that Carl was able to feel comfortable enough to do this.
And in reading some of the Penn State message boards, where obviously this is a point of conversation, most of the comments were positive, but there were a few negative comments that, and it upset me that that was the case. You know, the tone of it was, well, gee, everyone's calling this brave. This isn't brave. I think what's missing is that by him feeling comfortable enough to make this kind of announcement, how much this helps so many other people who are not comfortable in coming out with this kind of announcement within their own family, within their own group of friends. And if here you have this football player, this very successful football player, feeling comfortable enough to make this kind of announcement, perhaps that will help a lot of other people. So I see absolutely nothing negative here, only good that could come from this, Greg.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Jim, 100%.
All right. With that said, let's move on to recruiting, Greg.
And yeah, it's a busy time of year, Jim. It's amazing that as we sit here and talk toward the end of June, that we waited so very, very, very long for this quiet period to allow visits again. And now all of a sudden, Jim, it's almost almost at a point when that time is over, which seems pretty crazy, but it's definitely true.
Well, the actual visits are going to come to an end as June comes to an end, but I don't think announcements will end anytime soon. As we've been talking, Greg, before, I think the schedule for a lot of these players will be to make all of their visits in June, and then perhaps in July is when we're going to start hearing all the announcements. There's just so much activity. You know that's going to be the follow-up. Now, there are a couple players who have made announcements. We all know one of them, the announcements that was made, was Jaden Gould. He announced for USC last Sunday evening. And until very recently, we all thought this is going to be a Penn State guy. He's a four-star defensive back from New Jersey. Penn State had the advantage it seemed geographically, had more visits. It just seemed like all indicators pointed to Penn State. Then, totally out of the blue, we started getting all those crystal balls for USC, all those predictions that he was headed to USC. Sure enough, that's what happened. First, before we go on to what Penn State does now with the defensive backs, what happened with Jaden Gould? Do we know the story of what made him apparently change his mind from Penn State to go to USC?
I don't know, Jim. I mean, obviously, I think he found USC as a good fit for him. That's clear because he picked them. But, yeah, it just kind of was a total 180. And what that tells me is, and this isn't meant to come off as trying to be negative or anything like that, but, you know, I think it can be hard sometimes, Jim, for kids to tell coaches at the school that they don't want to go to, that they don't want to go there, or that they're not going to go there. And I think it's easier to just kind of tell people what they want to hear. And I just wonder if that was the case here, where maybe Jaden Gould was telling some Penn State people that he was thinking about committing there, and Penn State was where he wanted to go, and all that kind of stuff. And then when it really came down to decision time, the word started to get out there that, and I'm sure there was something that popped up, be it someone making a graphic for him or whatever, that, it became clear that things were not going the way that a lot of people expected them to. So that's my best read on the situation at this point. I don't think it's anything Penn State did wrong. I don't think it's anything that Jaden Gould decided that there was something wrong with Penn State at the last moment. I just think that maybe he was comfortable, was not comfortable telling Penn State that he was not going to go there during his official visit, and then maybe didn't feel so comfortable to do that afterward. And then at some point, you know, it came to a time when it had to happen, and then the crystal balls and everything flipped accordingly.
And our buddy Dustin earlier in the week made a good point. There's probably no more different environment from Penn State than USC. All of a sudden, you're talking West Coast. You're talking about the big city, Los Angeles. You're talking about a different weather. Everything is completely different. And it may just be a case where the kid, he saw LA, West Coast, all of that, and just fell in love with it. And that happens. And USC also has a very good recruiter now among their defensive back coaching. So it happens. A kid just will fall in love with a place. What it leads to, though, Greg, is the question of, okay, how is Penn State set up now among defensive backs, cornerbacks, and safeties? It seems like they're still in on a lot of people. I don't want to say, oh, it doesn't matter that they lost Jaden Gould, but they do have some backup plans, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter yet. I guess my thing, the more I thought about this, Jim, is the more it kind of became apparent to me, and I think you're going to agree, but, you know, it's nice that we can sit here and say that Penn State has plenty of options, and it's nice that we can sit here and say that some uncommitted guys are ones they could end up getting, but how many times have we done this song and dance over the last few years in terms of, you know, Penn State sits great with A, B, C prospect, 1, 2, 3 prospect, and then they miss out on one or two of those guys, and it's always like, well, they sit pretty good with these other guys still on the board, and then a lot of times they don't end up getting any of those guys either, and it just doesn't kind of work out the way that maybe it looks like it could. So, at any rate, I mean, Keenan Nelson's still out there. He's probably the top target to keep an eye on right now, in addition to Jaden Bellamy. These two are four-star corners. Nelson from Philadelphia, Bellamy from Bergen Catholic in New Jersey, the same school as Jaden Gould, ironically enough. You know, obviously, we're not too far removed from Penn State hosting Keon Sabb, the safety down at IMG, so he's one to still keep an eye on, and there's some other ones out there, too. So, ultimately, I think Penn State does sit in pretty good shape with its secondary recruiting, but, you know, again, it comes down to finishing the deal and making that a reality.
Well, the other part to this that's intriguing to me is Jaden Bellamy, who is his teammate at Bergen Catholic. I guess I'd be more concerned about him if he had USC also high on his list. I don't believe he does. But how does that dynamic work where both were looking at Penn State? I think Penn State may have felt pretty good with both of these guys, and then one of them decides to go to USC. What influence is there on the other guy?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that probably not as much as you think. I mean, I know it's easy to want to draw that straight line, and I thought about doing it on Sunday night and Monday morning as well, but I just think that more and more we see guys that go to the same school are not necessarily a package deal, then they might not even consider the same schools. I mean, they might not even give, you know, one might love USC and the other one might not even be remotely interested, even if they have an offer from that school. So, you know, it just, to me, I don't think it really has any impact on Jaden Bellamy. I've not got the sense that he's a guy who's a package deal or is more likely to go somewhere a teammate goes than anything else. So, yeah, I don't envision that being a huge swaying factor for Jaden Bellamy, Jaden Gould picking USC, but it is something to keep in the back of your mind, you know, as his recruitment plays out.
Then we had on the positive side, wide receiver Tyler Johnson, 6'1", 175. I believe he's from Virginia, Greg, committed to Penn State. And this one, we see some other recruiting stories, and they seem to drag out forever. This is one where Tyler Johnson showed up earlier in the week, worked out for Penn State coaches. They were impressed with him. They made an offer. He was back over the weekend and committed. How does that happen?
Yeah, so this is the guy that Penn State offered back in the spring after they got some extra tape on him. But I think they still wanted to see him in person before, you know, that was a situation they were comfortable moving forward with. He impressed him when he came up in person, turns around and takes an official visit. And, I mean, the writing was on the wall at that point. It was only a matter of time, I think, until he pulled the trigger for Penn State. So, you know, they liked this get. He got some other Big Ten offers. Virginia Tech both offered. He was a guy that was a little bit under the radar, I think. He wasn't rated for the longest time by any of the networks. Now I believe 247 Sports does have him as a 3-star. So, you know, they like him. And if Penn State likes him, I think we've seen enough from Taylor Stubblefield, James Franklin, and we know Mike Yurcich is a great evaluator of talent. So if they like him, I think you have to trust him and know that because of how weird last cycle was in this last year and a half was, some guys didn't get much exposure and thus they didn't get a rating. So I wouldn't worry about that as much now as maybe you would in the past.
Okay, Greg, that's it for quarter number one. We are going to pick up the recruiting conversation in quarter number two, so stick around for that. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.